Hello, this is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Today, we will talk about Joe Rogan, a comedian, mixed martial artist, and podcast personality. He was some controversy about alleged misinformation regarding COVID-19 and said some offensive language. And we're going to basically do a deep dive because a lot of y'all may not know who he is and what his accomplishments is. And then we're going to go in and start talking about my opinion on the situation. All right, here we go. Joseph James Rogan was born on August 11, 1967. Is an American podcaster, Ultimate Fighting Championship color commentator, comedian, actor, and former television presenter. He hosts the Joe Rogan Experience, a podcast that he launched in 2009, in which he discusses topics such as current events, comedy, politics, philosophy, science, and hobbies with a variety of guests. Rogan was born in Newark, New Jersey, and began his career in comedy in August 1988 in the Boston area. After relocating to Los Angeles in 1994, he signed an exclusive development deal with Disney and appeared as an actor on seven television shows, including Hardball and News Radio. In 1997, he started working for the UFC as an interviewer and color commentator. He released his first comedy special, I'm Going to Be Dead Someday. In 2000, he hosted a game show, Fear Factor, from 2001 to 2006. After leaving Fear Factor, Rogan focused on his stand-up career and hosted more comedy specials. He launched the Joe Rogan Experience in 2009. By 2015, it was one of the most popular podcasts in the world, regularly receiving millions of views per episode. Spotify obtained exclusive distribution rights to the Joe Rogan Experience in 2020 for US $100 million. In 2022, Rogan became the subject of controversy for hosting physicians on his podcast who provided misinformation regarding COVID-19. In his early life, Joseph James Rogan was born on August 11, 1967 in Newark, New Jersey. He is three-quarters Italian and one-quarter Irish descent. His father, Joseph, is a former police officer in Newark. Rogan's parents divorced when he was five, and he has not been in contact with his father since he was seven. Rogan recalled, "All I remember of my dad was these brief violent flashes of domestic violence. But I don't want to complain about my childhood. Nothing bad ever really happened to me. I don't hate the guy." From ages 7 to 11, he lived in San Francisco, California, after which his family moved to Gainesville, Florida. They let him settle in Newton Upper Falls, Massachusetts, outside Boston, where Rogan attended Newton South High School, for where he graduated in 1985. Rogan participated in Little League Baseball and developed an interest in martial arts in his early teens. After recall being terrified of being a loser as a child, and martial arts gave me not just confidence, but also a different perspective of myself and what it was capable of. I knew that I could do something I was terrified of, and that was really difficult, and that I could excel at it. It was a big deal for me. Martial arts were the first thing that ever gave me hope that I wasn't going to be a loser. So I really, really gravitated towards at it. At age 14, Rogan took up karate and a year later started taekwondo. When he was 19, he won the U.S. Open Championship Taekwondo Tournament as a lightweight. He was a Massachusetts full contest state champion for four consecutive years and became a taekwondo instructor. Rogan also practiced amateur kickboxing and held a 2-1 record. He retired from competition at age 21 as he began to suffer frequent headaches and feared he might sustain worse injuries. He attended the University of Massachusetts at Boston, but found it pointless and dropped out early. He lived in Boston area until he was 24. Rogan had no intention of being a professional stand-up comedian and initially considered a career in kickboxing. He was a fan of comedy from a young age, and comedian Richard Pryor's film Live on Sunset Strip affected him in such a profound way Nothing had made me laugh like that. Rogan's friends from gym and taekwondo school. We would make laugh with impressions and jokes, convince him to have a go stand-up comedy at 21. After 6 months preparing material, practicing his delivery, he performed his first stand-up routine on August 27, 1988 at an open mic night at Stitches Comedy Club in Boston. While living in Boston and working on his stand-up, Rogan held several jobs to secure himself financially, including teaching martial arts at Boston University in Revere, Massachusetts, developing newspapers, driving a limousine, doing construction work, and performing duties for a private investigator. Meanwhile, his boot comedy style earned him gigs at bachelor parties and strip clubs. One night persuaded the owner of a comedy club in Boston to allow him to try a new 5-minute routine. At the show was talent manager Jeff Susselman, who likes Rogan's acts and offered to become his manager. Rogan accepted Susselman's offer. In 1990, Rogan moved to New York City as a full-time comedian. He was scratching and grinding for money and stayed with his grandfather in Newark for 6 months. Rogan later cited Richard Jenny, Lenny Bruce, and Sam Kinison and Bill Gicks as comedy influences. In 1994, Rogan relocated to Los Angeles, where his first national television spot followed on the MTV comedy show Half Hour Comedy Tour. The appearance which led to networks offering him a 3-year exclusive contract and a role in a pilot called A Dopey Game Show for $500. Rogan declined, but it prompted Susselman to send tapes of Rogan's performances to several networks, which sparked a bidding war. After a period of negotiation, Rogan accepted a development deal with the Disney Network. He secured his first major acting role in the 1994 9-episode Fox sitcom Hardball as Frank Vallante, a young egocentric star player on a professional basketball team. Rogan called the hiring process weird, as the network had no idea if he could act until he was asked by Dean Valentine, then president of Walt Disney Television, to whom he replied, "If you can lie, you can act. And if you can lie to crazy girlfriends, you can act under pressure." The filming schedule was a new experience for Rogan, who started to work 12-hour days. Rogan later said, "It was a great show on paper until a horrible executive producer with a big hoe was hired by Fox to run the show and rewrote it." Around this time, Rogan became performing at the Comedy Store in Hollywood and was hired as a paid regular by owner Mitzi Shore. He performed at the club for the next 13 years for free, paid for the venue's new sound system. From 1995 to 1999, Rogan starred in the NBC sitcom News Radio as George Garrell, electrician and handyman at the show's fictional room station. The role was originally said to be played by actor Ray Romano, but Ray Romano was let go for the cast after one rehearsal and Rogan was brought in. The switch caused Rogan to work with the show's writers to help develop the character before the show set to launch, which he later described was a very dumbed-down, censored version of himself. Rogan befriended fellow cast member Phil Hartman, who confided his marital problems to him. Rogan claimed he tried to persuade Hartman to divorce his wife 5 times, but he loved his kids and did not want to leave. In 1998, Hartman was murdered by his wife. The loss affected Rogan's ability to perform stand-up, and he canceled a week of scheduled gigs. Rogan later saw acting as an easy job, but grew tired of playing the same character every week. He only did so for the money. He later viewed his time on news radio as a dream gig that allowed him to earn money while working on the stand-up as often as he could. During the series, he worked on a pilot for a show entitled Overseas. Rogan began working for the mixed martial arts promotion Ultimate Fighting Championship as a backup and post-fight interviewer. His first show took place at UFC 12 Judgment Day in Dauphin, Alabama. On February 7, 1997, he became interested in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in 1994 after watching Royce Gracie at the fight UFC 2 No Way Out, and landed a position in the organization as Susselman was friends with the co-creator and original producer Campbell McLaren. He quit after 2 years after his salary could not cover the cost of traveling to events, which were held often in rural locations at the time. After the UFC was taken over by Zuffa in 2001, Rogan attended some events and became friends with his new president, Dana White, who offered him a job as a color commentator. However, Rogan initially declined the job as he wanted to go to the fights and drink. In 2002, while able to hire Rogan for three free in exchange for prime event tickets for him and his friends, about 15 free gigs as a commentator, Rogan accepted pay for the job, worked alongside Mike Goldberg until the end of 2016. Rogan won the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Award for the Best Television Announcer twice and was named MMA Personality of the Year 4 times by Raw MMA Awards. In 1999, Rogan secured a 3-album deal with Warner Brothers Records and began tentative plans to star in his own primetime television sitcom on Fox called The Joe Rogan Show. The show, co-written by Seinfeld by Bill Masters, was to feature Rogan as a second-string sportscaster who lands a spot on the token male on The View-style women's show. In 1999, he recorded his first stand-up comedy album and 2 shows at the Comedy Connection at Fernando Hall in Boston, which was released as I'm Going to Be Dead Someday. In August 2000, it received national exposure on the Howard Stern and downloads from Napster. Voodoo Punani is a song Rogan wrote after Warner suggested he produce the song he could play it on the radio. It was subsequently released as a single. Around this time, Rogan wrote down ideas on a film cartoon with his comedian Chris McGuire and began to operate a blog on his website, joerogan.net, which he used to discuss various topics that helped him develop his stand-up routines. In 2001, the development of Rogan's television show was interrupted after he accepted an offer from NBC to host the American edition of Fear Factor. He declined initially as he thought the network could not air such a program due to its content, but Sussman convinced him to accept. Rogan later said that the main reason he accepted to exchange observations and anecdotes for his stand-up comedy. The show released Rogan's national exposure, which caused turnouts in his stand-up shows to grow. Fear Factor ran for an initial 6 seasons from 2001 to 2006. Rogan's role as host of Fear Factor led him to further television opportunities. In 2002, he appeared on an episode of Beautiful Mind of Just Shoot Me as Chris, the boyfriend of leader Meyer Gylo. In December 2002, Rogan was the MC for 2002 blockbuster Hollywood Spectacular, The Christmas Parade in Hollywood. In February 2003, Rogan became the new co-host of The Man Show on Comedy Central for his 5th season on August 2003 with fellow comedian Doug Stanhope, following the departure of original Jimmy Kendall and Adam Carolla. A year in the show, however, the host entered disagreements with Comedy Central and the show's producers over content. Rogan recalled, "I was a little missile, I was told. Show nudity and we'll blur it out. Sir, we bleep it. That hasn't been the case." The show ended in 2004. Around this time, Rogan entered talks to host his own radio show, but they came to nothing due to his already busy schedule. 2005, actor Wesley Snipes challenged Rogan to a cage fight. Rogan trained to the event for 5 months before Snipes backed out following an investigation for the IRS for alleged tax evasion. Rogan believes Snipes needed a quick payout to alleviate his debt. After Fear Factor, Rogan focused his career on stand-up comedy. His concentration on television had made him feel lazy, uninspired to work on his new material for his act. With the money he had earned from television, Rogan hired 2 people full-time to film him and his comedy friends on tour and release clips on the schedule for Joe web series. In May 2005, Rogan signed a deal with the Endeavor Talent Agency. 2 months later, he filmed his 2nd stand-up comedy special, Joe Rogan Live, in Phoenix, Arizona. The special premiered on Soul Chime in 2007. In 2005, Rogan wrote a blog entry on his website accusing comedian Carlos Mencia of joke theory, a claim he has made since 1993. The situation culminated in February 2007 when Rogan confronted Mencia on the stage, Comedy Store in Hollywood. Video of the incident was uploaded on YouTube and included evidence as comments from other comedians, including George Lopez, the Reverend, Bob Lively, Bobby Lee, and Ari Shaffir. The incident led to Rogan's talent agent expelling him as a client of the Gerst Agency, who managed Mencia, and is banned from the Comedy Store, which caused him to relocate to his regular venue to the Improv Hollywood Comedy Club. Rogan later said that every comic he had talked to was happy and thankful he did it, and he went on to sign with the Will Morris Agency. Rogan returned to the Comedy Store in 2013 to support Shaffir in the filming of his first special. In April 2007, Comedy Central Records released Rogan's fourth comedy special, Shiny Happy Jihad. The set was recorded in 2006 at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco and contains expert of an improv Q&A session with the audience that was typical of Rogan's act at the time. Rogan hosted the short-lived CBS show Game Show in My Head, which aired for 8 episodes in 2009. It was produced by Ashton Kutcher. The show involved contestants who tried to convince people to perform and take part in increasingly bizarre situations for money. He agreed that most of the show, as the idea intrigued him, calling it a completely mindless form of entertainment. 2010, Rogan accused comedian Dane Cook of joke thievery. In 2011, Rogan resumed his role for Fear Factor, host for a 7th and final season. Rogan took the job, saying he would hate to see somebody else do it. Later in 2011, Rogan played his most film character, Gail, in the comedy show Zookeeper. He was also working on a book around the time he tentatively titled Irresponsible Advice from a Man with No Credibility, based on his blog entries for the website. Rogan played himself Here Comes the Boom, another action comedy film starring Kevin James that was released in 2012. In December 2012, Rogan released his sixth comedy special live from the Tabernacle exclusively as a download of his website for $5, following Louis C.K.'s example. 2013, Rogan hosted the television show Joe Rogan Questions Everything on the Sci-Fi Network, which aired for 6 episodes. The show covered topics and discussed on his podcast, including the extent of Bigfoot and UFOs, and feature several comedians, experts, and scientists with the aim of trying to put some subjects to bed with an open-minded perspective. Sci-Fi to agree to produce the show without a pilot episode. The production team gave Rogan some creative control over the program and aimed to present it in his own words where possible. In December 2009, Rogan launched a free podcast with his friend and fellow comedian Brian Redband. The first episode was recorded on December 24th and was likely to be a live weekly broadcast on US stream. And Rogan and Redband sitting in front of laptops bullshitting. By August 2010, the podcast was named the Joe Rogan Experience and entered the top 100 podcasts on iTunes. And in 2011 was picked up to Sirius XM Satellite Radio. The podcast featured an array of guests who can discuss current events, politics, philosophy, comedy, hobbies, and numerous other types. In January 2015, the podcaster was downloaded over 11 million times. By October after year, the podcast was downloaded 16 million times each month, making it the most popular free podcast. In May 19, 2020, Rogan announced that he signed a multi-year licenses deal with Spotify, estimated worth of $100 million, making it among the largest licenses agreements in the podcast business. The deal made Joe Rogan available on Spotify starting September 1, 2020, and exclusive on the platform January 2021. Clips from the video version will continue to be available on YouTube. February 2022, Spotify removed 113 episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience over the course of 4 days, owing in part to some of the episodes having been perceived to be racist and insensitive language. Rogan married Jessica Dizelle, a former cocktail waitress, in 2009. The couple has 2 daughters, the firstborn in 2008 and the second in 2010. Rogan is also a stepfather to Dizelle's daughter from her previous marriage. Family moved to Boulder, Colorado in 2008, where they lived for 4 months, but returned to Southern California when his wife became pregnant. They settled in Bell Canyon, California, where Rogan has lived since early 2003. They purchased a new home in the area for almost $5 million in mid-2018 and 2020. The family moved to a $14 million home in Lake Austin, Texas. Rogan has vitiligo on his feet, hands in his feet. Rogan became interested in jiu-jitsu after watching Royce Gracie in UFC's No Way Out. In 1996, Rogan began training in Blue Zoo and Tills Issue in Carson Greeley in the school in Hollywood, California. He is a black belt under Eddie Bravo's Tef Planet Jiu-Jitsu, a style no-gi Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and a black belt in G Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under James Jeans Machado. Rogan was raised Roman Catholic, having attended Catholic school in first grade, but since has abandoned following any organized position and identifies as agnostic. In 2019, the episode of Joe Rogan Experience podcast, Rogan confirmed he is a cousin of My Chemical Romance lead vocalist Gerald Way, although they have never met. In January 2020, Rogan went on a carnivore diet for an entire month, only eating grass-fed beef, elk, eggs, and vitamins and supplements such as amino acids and fish oil. In source of his diet, Rogan said he lost 12 pounds and he has experienced increasing energy and relief from fire health issues. However, Rogan admitted that the diet also negatively impacted his digestive system. In January 2021, Rogan announced that he will go out and meet in a fruit diet for the entire month. This is interesting. A lot of these things I didn't know about this man. Alright. Let's talk about his political positions. In 2020, CNN described Rogan as libertarian-leaning. Rogan said that he has holds a wide variety of political views and does not easily fall on any particular side of the political spectrum. He has described himself as socially liberal, saying that he supports same-sex marriage, gay rights, women's rights, recreational drug use, universal health care, and universal basic income, but also supports gun rights and the Second Amendment. Rogan describes himself as a strong supporter of freedom of speech and has criticized what he describes as cancel culture and what he perceives to be the suppressions of those who hold right-wing views in the television and film industry. He has also criticized what he describes as an American foreign policy of military adventurism. The Rogan-Ron Paul in 2012 presidential campaign and voted for Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson in the 2006 U.S. presidential election. He endorsed Bernie Sanders during the 2020 Democratic Party presidential primaries, but ended up voting for Joe Jensen in the general election. Rogan has criticized political polarization in the United States and accused American liberals of hoping for the U.S. president to fail, Donald Trump to fail, simply because they dislike his persona. Rogan publicly supported Tulsi Gabbard and encouraged her to run for U.S. presidency in 2020. In January 2020, Rogan said he would probably vote for Bernie Sanders in the 2020 Democratic primary, adding, "He has been insanely consistent in his entire life." Sanders was criticized by fellow Democrats for touting Rogan's endorsements of the 2020 presidential campaign, including by Move On, which refer Rogan as someone known for promoting transphobia, homophobia, Islamophobia, racism, and misogyny. The Human Rights Campaign called a Sanders to reject Rogan's endorsement. After Sanders dropped out of the race, Rogan said he would rather vote for Trump than Biden, after he don't think that Biden can handle anything. He claimed that he was concerned for Biden, who returned 78 shortly after Election Day, lacked the cognitive ability needed to run the United States, and he will not be handled the pressure of presidency. Rogan criticized Biden for this verbal slip-ups, which he described as not a normal way to communicate unless you're high. Rogan has stated, "Biden to me is like having a flashlight with a dying battery and going for a long hike in the woods. It's not going to work out. It's not going to make it." Donald Trump subsequently retweeted Rogan's comments on Biden's mental illness. Rogan offered to moderate a four-hour debate with Trump and Biden in an effort to avoid what he referred to as media bias. Trump said he will be willing to do such a debate. Change.org position was stated to elect Joe Rogan as the moderator for 2020. Rogan later revealed in a live election night podcast that he voted for Libertarian candidate Joe Jensen. Rogan supported the legalized use of cannabis and believes it holds numerous benefits. He hosted the documentary The Union, The Business Behind Getting High. It was featured in Marijuana, A Chronic History and a Culture High. He also supports the use of LSD, psilocybin mushrooms, and DMT towards the explosion of enhanced consciousness, as well as introspection. He was presenter of the 2010 documentary DMT, The Spirit Molecule. Rogan has an interest in sensory deprivation used in an isolation tank, and he has said personal experience with meditation and isolation tanks have helped him explore the nature of consciousness and improve in performance in various physical and mental activities and overall well-being. Rogan is an avid hunter and is a part of the Eat What You Kill movement, which attempts to move away from factory farming and the mistreats of animals raised for food. Rogan is opposed to routine infant circumcision and claimed there's a lack of scientific evidence and benefits to the practice, which he considered not entirely different from female genital mutilation because of its non-consensual nature. Rogan has been an outspoken critic of trans women fighting cisgender women in MMA matches. This is very interesting. Now, let's talk about his controversies. Remarks on COVID-19. In April 2021, Rogan made false remarks about COVID-19 vaccines, in particular telling me that young, healthy people do not need to be vaccinated against the virus. This view was criticized by Anthony Fauci and White House Communication Director Kate Benjenfeld, as well as other by several media outlets. Part of the objection that there was have been notable cases affecting young, healthy people. Rogan acknowledged that there was some legitimate science behind Fauci's view and emphasized that he was not a doctor and should be not taken as a respected source of information. In August 2, 2021, Rogan expressed concern that means of mitigation, such as vaccine passports, would bring society one step closer to dictatorship. September 1st, 2021, Rogan tested positive for the virus. Soon after, he released an online video reporting on the status of his condition and stated that he had begun a regimen including monoclonal antibodies, prednisone, amoxicillin, and NADDRIP, a vitamin drip, and well, Insermecin, a drug usually taken to treat parasitic infection and not endorsed by the FDA as an effective treatment for COVID-19. This caused controversy due to multiple people reporting being hospitalized and self-medicating with an overdose of the counterformer Insermecin injected to treat animals and livestock, which typically has a significantly larger dosage. Rogan criticized CNN for describing Insermecin as a horse dewormer. Outpatient prescribing Intermestin has recently increased significantly due to the unproven claim that it is effective against COVID-19. The FDA has called this trend disturbing. On September 3, 2021, Roger tested positive for the virus. In January 2022, 207 scientists, physicians, professors, doctors, and healthcare workers wrote an openly letter to Spotify expressing concern over false and societal harmful assertions on the Joe Rogan Experience and asked Spotify to establish a clear and public policy to moderate misinformation on the platform. The 2007 signatories took issue with Rogan broadcasting misinformation, particularly regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, and more specifically, a higher controversial episode featuring guest Robert W. Malone. The episode has been criticized for promoting baseless conspiracy theories, including an unfounded theory that societal leaders have hypnotized the public. The signatories further assert that Dr. Malone is one of the two recent JRE guests who has compared pandemic policies to the Holocaust. These actions are not only objectful and offensive, but also medically and culturally dangerous. The signatories also note that Malone was suspended from Twitter for spreading misinformation about COVID-19. On January 24, 2021, musician Neil Young posted an open letter threatening to remove his music from Spotify if they did not remove the podcast Joe Rogan Experience for their service. The podcast, one of Spotify's most popular, has been criticized for spreading COVID-19 misinformation. Young wrote that Spotify has a responsibility to mitigate the spread of misinformation on the platform. On January 26, Spotify removes Young Music. Spokesperson said that Spotify bought all the world's music and audio content to be available to Spotify users, and it had a great responsibility and balanced both safety for listeners and freedom creators. In January 29, Joan Mitchell removed a catalog from Spotify in support of longtime friend and fellow polio survivor Neil Young and the global scientific and medical communities on this issue. Responded to the controversy, Rogan denied intentionally spreading misinformation and pledged to balance out the more controversial viewpoints with other people's perspectives and said that he agreed with Spotify adding a disclaimer in the beginning of his videos. Early in Rogan's stand-up career, fellow comedian Mishren Kangnani complained that he unnecessarily used a gay slur in his act. Rogan said in a 2010 newspaper interview that sometimes faggot, faggot is the right word, and that is a slanderous, even nasty word about homosexuals. Fellow comedian Sue Consento complained that Rogan worse followed her act in the LA club, saying who would ever fuck her with that accent, stimulating sex with her on stage. In February 2022, a compilation of Rogan saying the racial slur nigga on the Joe Rogan Experience was the first published on Instagram by singer-songwriter India Irie. Rogan apologized, calling his past language regretful and shameful, while also saying that the clips were taken out of context, and he only quoted the slur to discuss the use by others. The footage in question, which was deceptively edited to remove proper context, was published by the Political Action Committee in Parrot Takes, an affiliate of the liberal PAC Midas Touch. This resulted in allegations of defamation attempt by Midas Touch, which the founders denied in an interview with Barstool Sports founder David Prochnow, instead of attributing the flaws of Alex Jones, who was a recurring guest of Rogan's show. Rogan described the video as a compilation of a political hit job. Spotify refused to carry 42 episodes of the podcast when it acquired the exclusive rights. Spotify says it spoke to Rogan about his history of using some racially insensitive language, and it says that Rogan selected 70 episodes, which were removed on February 4, 2022, all which predates COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah, so that's all the information on Joe Rogan. just in case you don't know who he is and in context, before I go into my opinion on the Joe Rogan controversy. Now, let's talk about his situation with Carlos Mencia, because the reason why you created the podcast in the first place is because of what happened with Carlos. Now, the reason why black entertainers are defending Joe Rogan is because Joe Rogan defended black comedians. And the reason why he defended black comedians because Carlos Mencia, they call him Carlos Mencia, Carlos Mencia was stealing from black comedians. He was stealing from Paul Mooney, and he was stealing from Bill Cosby. You know, Joe Rogan was sticking up for black comedians. So being that Joe Rogan is sticking up for black comedians is the reason why a lot of black comedians and a lot of black entertainers are standing up for them. So I don't want the community to necessarily call, you know, black people sellouts. You know, you need the context of the whole situation. The biggest problem with Spotify is money. You know, Spotify is not paying musicians enough money. I mean, for 1 million streams on Spotify, artists, if they own 100% of their masters and 100% of their publishing, only gets $4,000, which is a little bit of money. You know, you have these talented musicians being shafted, you know, especially talented black musicians being shafted and not getting enough pay. And they're giving this man money, you know, a guy who has said a whole bunch of N-words, you know. And it's also very controversial that Joe Rogan only gets a slap on the wrist, but, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, she gets suspended. And here's the thing. The Jewish community did not want Whoopi Goldberg to be suspended. Everybody was like, listen, they didn't want that. You know, a lot of people in the Jewish community was like, hey, you know, she's been an ally for the Jewish community for years. Like, we don't want her to get suspended. But she got suspended. So it's like, I don't know. You know, it seems that when these white guys make a free speech mistake, it seems that they get a slap in the wrist. But anybody else that makes a free speech mistake, they seem to, you know, they get punished. It really isn't fair, in my opinion. Am I going to watch the Joe Rogan show? Not really. You know, I wasn't really watching the Joe Rogan show like that in the first place. Only when he has, like, black entertainers that I do like is when I really watch it. If you don't want to watch the Joe Rogan show, be my guest. You know what I'm saying? I just wish that, you know, black content creators like us actually got the pay and actually got the opportunities that Joe Rogan has. But, you know, as a descendant of Black Wall Street, we have to do it ourselves. Thank you for listening to Black Wall Street Chronicles. Thank you for your time. God bless you.